Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Malcolm Yarnell, Dr. Owen Strand, and Dr. Matthew Barrett to the podcast. Dr. Yarnell serves as research professor of systematic theology at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. Strand serves as associate professor of Christian theology, director of the Center for Public Theology, and director of the residency PhD program here at Midwestern Seminary. And Dr. Barrett also serves as associate professor of Christian theology here at Midwestern Seminary. Gentlemen, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you.
Yeah, great having you guys on the podcast today. And we're going to have a freewheeling and I anticipate pretty fast-paced conversation on theological issues confronting the church. So before we get into that, just a brief orientation. We're here. Dr. Yarnell is co-teaching a doctoral seminar this week, so you're in Kansas City with us. You do that occasionally. We're grateful to you giving of your time here and our sister seminary, Southwestern, loaning you out to us on occasion. So yeah. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here at Midwestern. I really appreciate what you stand for here and the fact that this seminary exists for the church.
Oh, you're very kind. The Lord has been good, and we're having a great time here. If I could do a better job, I would, but I know I couldn't be having more fun doing the job I'm doing. I mean, it's just a great season, and the Lord has been so kind to us, and we're grateful to have His blessing. These other guys here at the table with us, Dr. Strand and Barrett. Dr. Strand, you are now in your fourth year at Midwestern.
That's correct.
Dr. Barrett, you're in your second year at Midwestern Seminary. So it's good to be here. Without getting into the weeds here, there has been previous and other cross-pollination, some project collaboration, in particular with Dr. Strand and Dr. Yarnell on a couple of SBC resolutions. And so we're here as colleagues, we're here as friends, and we're here to talk about topics which relates to preaching and preachers and a particular theological issue confronting the church. So let me just hop in with this question. And Dr. Yarnell, I'm going to throw this to you first. When we talk about theological issues confronting the church, when you hear me ask that question, what first comes to mind?
Well, I think the primary issue, and it has always been this throughout the church's history, is that the church must proclaim the gospel clearly. And so we've got to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the God-man who died on a cross to atone for our sins and to rise from the dead so that those who have faith and have been born again may be justified. The issues, however, that the churches face through time and space shift around on the basis of the gospel. I mean, at one time, I used to think that the critical issue facing the church was the doctrine of revelation, and it was. Other times, I've thought of salvation, of the doctrine of the church. But if I had to think of what is the critical issue facing us this day, it would actually have to be anthropology. Who is man? What is humanity? And all of the issues related to that. And I think being grounded in Genesis 1 and being grounded in Hebrews 1 are the way forward to helping us. But I really do think that anthropology is the key issue. It is the theological issue that lays behind our struggles against abortion, with racism, with the dignity of women, with so many issues. And I'm just convinced that anthropology is the central issue that is facing us in the near term.
And obviously, culturally, would you get then into issues of gender, of sexuality,
yes,
one's own identity, one's self-conception, yes, all that is there. Now, Dr. Strand, I'm going to pivot to you here because you are tidying up a manuscript, and not just any manuscript, a pretty lengthy manuscript on this very issue. So tell us a touch about that project and then perhaps elaborate your sense of agreement with Dr. Yarnell.
Yeah, I really appreciate those words from Dr. Yarnell. I heartily agree. I think that we're in a time similar to a kind of 16th century context when the major question before the church was justification and these kind of matters that Dr. Yarnell has talked about, the very heart of the gospel, and also, of course, correlated with that, the doctrine of the word. Dr. Barrett has written so well and edited so well on those matters. Today, in the 21st century, again, just to agree with Dr. Yarnell, I think this is the major cluster of issues. This is the doctrinal area, loci, that most demands our attention. That's not to say, of course, that we relax our grip on theology proper, on the doctrine of God, for example, on soteriology, on other matters as well. But it is to say that this is where Satan's focus seems to be in digging up and taking apart the doctrine of humanity. Most people today, let's stop talking so theologically for a minute, just thinking of preachers. Most people preachers are going to preach to have no idea how to articulate what humanity is, what its purpose is, if there's any design to humanity, if there's order in the cosmos that is behind the order of the human person and human relationships. Most people have no sense of these things. They think humanity, drafting off of the Enlightenment, not to say they would cite the Enlightenment, but they've been given a vision of the human person that sees it as a blank slate, basically. And you just create your own identity. That's what most people would think. And even many Christians, even many people in our pews would not know a full-fledged, rock-ribbed understanding of the human person as made by God, designed by God, with all the attendant realities that flow from that. So I couldn't agree more. We have tremendous amounts of work to do on this matter.
You know, it's interesting. In the New York Times, I believe it was yesterday, reading an article where they were calling out the Trump administration, and not to digress into politics here, but as a living illustration of anthropology, calling out the Trump administration for my words, not theirs, a harsh, draconian, Neanderthal assessment of that the Trump administration is requesting and stating as relates to government policy that gender is what one is born with. Mm-hmm. And just this renouncing, this denouncing of the Trump administration for that basic human observation.
Yeah. The idea that your identity would be correlated with your anatomy, with your birth sex, so-called, is this unthinkable view now to hold for, I don't know, a significant portion of the American populace, and to recognize that, yes, the Trump administration is controversial in many areas, sometimes justifiably, but that is not an area that should be controversial. It is profoundly controversial today, and that's part of why we so need preachers to preach and teach about these things.
So, Dr. Barrett, to draw you in here, we're thinking about theological issues confronting the church. Now, I guess going further upstream, is it the fact that the church doesn't think theologically enough in the first place? In other words, if we were to engage random congregation X about the theological issues confronting them, would they even be thinking theologically enough to be able to triage which theological issues they should be thinking about?
Perhaps not, and that's a scary thought. When we look at the contemporary church, it's not only that there's a lack of understanding, in this case, say, of anthropology, but there's not even an appreciation for what theology is or why it should be present in the church. Some of this comes back, you know, this is the case with any type of hole, any type of theological hole in the church. Whenever there is, say, with anthropology, a lack of understanding, there's also one or two doctrines behind it that are suffering. So take this example with anthropology. If someone in the church or even the pastor themselves, if they do not have a biblical understanding of humanity, well, you can guess that behind that is a lack of understanding of biblical authority, most likely. And behind that is certainly a lack of understanding of who God is. Because if they don't understand who man is, they're certainly not going to understand the Creator himself. I'm always brought back to the way that John Calvin opened his institutes. And he goes directly for the doctrine of humanity. But he reminds us that you are only going to understand who you are if you understand who God is, and vice versa. So until we start to think theologically in those terms, not only is it anthropology, but I think we're going to see other doctrines start to fall as well.
Dr. Arnell, I think you had intimated another theological concern or theological issue confronting the church is the topic of Christology.
Absolutely, yes. And so my understanding is that anthropology has been affected negatively because of the fall. And so hamartiology, the doctrine of sin, must be taken into account. I think we've got a difficulty in our culture. We move quickly we transition between too high of an anthropology and too low of an anthropology. We've got to remember that human beings are made in the image of God. And that means that God grants his dignity to his human creatures in ways that he did not grant that dignity to other creatures. But being made in the image of God, we fell into sin. So Adam and Eve fell into sin, led the human race into sin. We are now broken, broken images. And if we don't remember both the fact that we have dignity from being Imago Dei and that that Imago Dei has been broken, we will transition quickly between too high of an anthropology where we actually make ourselves into little gods. And that's where a lot of the gender issues arise from. We actually believe that we're God in some way, or too low of an anthropology and we objectify other human beings. Both are severe errors. The solution to anthropology is Christology. For God, the second person of the Trinity became a human being, to borrow the language of Irenaeus, to reconstitute humanity, to take humanity and make it what it should be. So he is the image of God. Humanity has been created in the image of God. And what Christ has done in his work is to take and to refashion humanity to be what it should have been in the first place, and even more so, to be the reconstituted image of God.
Yeah, I think it wasn't that long ago that R.C. Sproul, right before he died, he was asked, you know, what is going to be the most pressing theological challenge the church is going to face in the next, you know, decade or two decades? And his answer was Christology, the person and the work of Christ. I think it's interesting that he said that, and I think you're exactly right, because if we're having these misconceptions of who man and woman are to be, that is going to have serious consequences then when those people enter into a church and are confronted with the picture of Christ that you see in Scripture. It's going to conflict. We pray that there would be repentance and a surrender to that picture of Christ. But in many cases, instead, there's hostility.
You know what's interesting, if you've watched the State of Theology, which is a survey that Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research have conducted in 2014, 2016, and most recently in 2018, what you discover is that among American Christians, for instance, in the most recent survey, 57% of American Christians are functionally Arian heretics. Mm-hmm. And it gets worse when you look at just evangelical Christians. The numbers go up to 71%. That means that from a Christological perspective, we are failing. And so theology is important for us to proclaim. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, our people are not going to understand where their salvation arises and who they ought to be.
Guys, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back on the podcast today with Dr. Strand, Baird, and Yarnell talking about theological issues confronting the church. And those statistics get horrifying when you ask the question or raise the topic, the exclusivity of the gospel of Christ. In the typical evangelical church, in the typical evangelical, you know, college and career ministry, it's horrifying how low a percentage it is to actually affirm and understand the doctrine of the exclusivity of Christ.
Yeah, and I was going to say here, we also are dealing, when we're talking about Christology and recognizing its strong connection, of course, indissoluble connection to anthropology. So Dr. Barrett and I teach a class here, PhD class called Christological Anthropology. It's actually called Advanced Systematic Theology, but that's what we've been focusing on this year, both in the fall and coming up soon. You recognize that even when you're talking about Christology, evangelicals don't agree on everything in the biblical structure of this very doctrine, meaning with Christ, as both of you have referenced, we are dealing with a first Adam, second Adam biblical theology, and many of our colleagues at seminaries and Christian schools do not even agree that there was an actual first Adam. Mm. So you talk about first Adam. We're not so much in systematics here. We're more in biblical, but building into systematics, right? We don't even have agreement over whether Adam was an actual person created by God per Genesis 2. Right. He's kind of a mythical figure. So take any thread and pull it in our circles, and you recognize these doctrines are challenged.
So let me do this. Let me zero in on two. And boy, time is flying by here. But I want to zero in on two topics that two of you men, Drs. Jarnell and Strand, have collaborated on in recent years. One, PSA, penal substitutionary atonement. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, and I guess actually previous chronologically that you guys engaged, the doctrine of inerrancy. Why did you guys, without getting into the weeds in a broader assessment as relates to where those are being challenged, but why did you guys view those two doctrines as important enough to lead the Southern Baptist Convention through the resolutions process to speak to formally? So why don't I ask one of you guys to take inerrancy, the other to take PSA, and you guys can figure out who is going to do what and flesh that out for us.
Well, since you pointed to me, I'll take inerrancy. But the doctrine of inerrancy was front and center among evangelical Christians in the United States in the latter part of the 20th century. It has been important because of the challenges of the historical critical method of Bible study, which undermines the interpreter's sense of the truthfulness of the text. And so inerrancy necessarily came forward as a corollary. So my understanding of the doctrine of inerrancy is that Scripture is perfect because God the Holy Spirit inspired Scripture, and because He's a perfect God, He speaks perfectly. When you challenge the Word of God, when you undermine the authority of the Word of God by denying its perfection, by saying that it does contain error, it robs the proclaimer of the Word of God of a sense of authority. It robs those who listen to the Word of God of a sense that they should take this seriously. Now, that was the later 20th century. I have discovered with my students that this is a perennial issue because there are challenges to the inspiration, the perfection, the inerrancy, the infallibility, the authority, the sufficiency of Scripture that are constantly ongoing because we have this sinful disposition to try to undermine God's authority over our life. And it is through the Word of God that He expresses His authority. So I think we need to constantly come back to the doctrine of inerrancy and restate it for every generation.
And that challenge, you look at the early 20th century, the fundamentalist movement, you come to the late 20th century, the inerrancy councils, and often those questions were being answered. The problems arising were more of supposed contradictions or supposed questions about chronology or genealogy or questions about, you know, did the axe head float? Now those are being asked, but oftentimes it's coming from an altogether different area. It's coming from, can the Bible actually make moral pronouncements about our life?
Right.
And so it must not be true, but surely a loving God would not regulate people's sexuality. Surely a loving God would not judge and sentence one to an eternal place called hell. And so these things can't be right, and so the Bible, therefore, must not be true.
There was a shift in worldviews that occurred in the 20th century, and the shift has gone from an Enlightenment emphasis on proposition to a postmodern emphasis on myself as the arbiter of truth. And so one time we looked outside of ourselves at reality for truth. Now we look inside of ourselves as a culture for the reality of truth. The fact is that the Word of God as authority challenges both of those misunderstandings. And so, yes, that's the current challenge, is that people are not accepting the Word of God as true and as authoritative over their lives because they want to bring on their own authority, to bring out their own ideas.
Yeah, I think that's right. You look at challenges to the Bible, and you recognize 20th century, late 20th century, early 20th century challenges so frequently are about the truthfulness of Scripture. And today, so many of the challenges are about the goodness of Scripture, the goodness of God's will. And that relates to the doctrine of the atonement, because in particular, what is challenged, there's lots of things to say here, but to condense, the idea that it would be not only fine, but good for God the Father to expect and exact perfect justice in the world of men is not a principle that many people agree with today. So many people would say that they follow God the Father. They are Christians. They believe in the cross. They would want to hear the cross preached. Many people in our pews, we're talking to preachers, right? Many people in our pews would say they affirm the death of Jesus Christ. But they may be reading all sorts of different voices out there who are actually, ironically, doing violence to the cross, because they're draining it of any sense of God accomplishing his work of justice through the death of his perfect Son, the Son of God, such that the wrath we deserve is assuaged and we can go free and be forgiven and know the Lord for eternity. That whole system is very much called into question, in part because the very goodness of God is called into question. And so we have the duty today of defending inerrancy and the atonement afresh.
So, Dr. Barrett, let me draw you in here to kind of tidy up the conversation. Theological issues confronting the church. We've talked about anthropology. We've talked about this penal substitutionary atonement of Christ. We've talked about inerrancy. We've talked about further upstream the general awareness of theological issues. So if you're a pastor listening to this podcast, for those who are listening, they're thinking, man, there's a lot going on. Do I just like stop and preach a sermon on anthropology next Sunday? How do those listening, how do they rightly engage and equip their people to think theologically, not just in a one-off sermon, but as a pattern of their ministry? What would you say to those pastors, to those ministers listening to this podcast?
Well, I think you have to start teaching your people theology. That can be done in so many ways, but you can't expect your people to just pick it up on their own. It has to be an intentional mindset on the part of the pastor or the pastors of the church. That can take place in so many ways, just in the preaching of the word from the pulpit, as you're preaching through texts of the Bible, and you come to those passages, maybe it's a passage that has a lot to say about the justice of God. Pause. Don't too quickly move on, but pause there and elaborate on the justice of God so that when you then turn to the next passage and it has much to say about anthropology, all of a sudden your people are connecting the dots. So first of all, in preaching, I would also say try to encourage your people to think theologically about everything that they are doing. You know, so how do we approach worship? The songs that we sing, the prayers, the time of confession, the Lord's Supper. This isn't random. This isn't arbitrary. These are given to us by Christ for a reason. Why? Start to explain to your people how the entire worship service is theological by nature. And then I would say, last of all, look, as you start to see your congregation mature and become more seasoned, look for those opportunities to then take them to the next level. Maybe introduce a Sunday school class where you start talking about, well, what is the doctrine of humanity? Or let's have a class on the Trinity. I think sometimes pastors are afraid of that because it sounds so intimidating. They might be surprised that their people will accept the challenge and really dig their teeth into it.
I think we need to remember that every Christian is called to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. Jesus added the mind to the Old Testament command mm-hmm. here. So he considered it important that we engage in theology. Erasmus taught that every Christian is a theologian. If that's the case, then every pastor ought to be a pastor theologian. I know that Dr. Strahan has written on this. And I think it is a model of pastoral ministry that must be embraced by every pastor. Every pastor ought to see their responsibility as being a shepherd who protects the sheep through giving them the word of God clearly in ways that their people can understand and apply, and that necessarily involves.
Well said. Friends, thank you for listening today to Preaching and Preachers. My friends, my colleagues here, Drs. Barrett, Strand, and Yarnell, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. And it's been a fun conversation. I wish we could have a double episode here because we just scratched the surface. But to those listening, so much of this goes back to just faithfully opening the Word of God week in and week out and bringing that text to bear for your people. I do think we often rush in preaching to bringing our people what we perceive the text to want them to do, and that's not an unhelpful thought, but we also have to be just as ambitious and just as intentional to bring to our people what the text wants us to believe. And typically, we can find both of those points of application in every passage we preach. Thank you for joining us for Preaching and Preachers. Until our next time, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.